Now, around 130,000 civil servants are striking in a long-running dispute over pay today. Members of the Public and Commercial Services Union are walking out at government departments, as well as other organisations, including the Border Force. It's just one of a number of ongoing disputes affecting, among others, our railways, schools and hospitals. So when will it all end? Miranda Grell is a former senior policy advisor for ACAS, the Conciliation Service. Miranda, good morning.
Good morning, Callum.
I think one of the things I want to start by considering is just the scale of the task here, that the government has got disputes with so many different unions and parts of the public service, economy. Is that daunting? Does that make resolution more difficult in any one of them because there are so many?
I would say so. I think what we are watching now is something on an even greater scale than the types of industrial unrest that the UK saw in the 60s and throughout the 1970s, before I was born and before you were born. And everything I've read about that period, the three-day week, the bins not being emptied, corpses piled high and not being buried. We are approaching, I would say, something of that magnitude, because the types of professions that are striking, I think that's what's quite interesting here. The types of professions that are striking: doctors, criminal barristers earlier this year, head teachers, I read only a couple of hours ago. I think that's what differentiates this period of industrial strife, and that's what I would call it, from earlier periods that dominated British politics. And it's very interesting that we seem to be returning to a time where industrial relations, employee relations is back at the forefront of mainstream politics in a way that it hasn't been right from, I would say, the 90s.
In terms of the Royal College of Nursing, the legal action that the government took against their strike, which means that it will be cut short, that the sort of latter bit of that has been ruled unlawful. In terms of what that represents, is that potentially a symptom of fatigue, an element of the union taking its eye off the ball a bit and dropping the ball? And I just wondered if that is because of the protracted nature of all of this, that things like that, quite important detail, get missed.
I don't think so. From the statements I've read from the Royal College of Nurses General Secretary, this is a political battle. It may appear to be a legal battle, but the fact that the Royal College of Nurses didn't send anybody into court, they didn't send a legal representative, but the General Secretary was outside and she read a very angry statement. And part of her statement talked about the fact that she thought that the Act, this is the Trade Union Act 2016, which is the legislation that determines deadlines of strike ballots and so on, and that's what the government used. She called it ideologically driven. And the trade unions do see this piece of legislation introduced in 2016 as ideologically driven. And I haven't been able to read the full judgment of Mr. Justice Lyndon, who granted the interim injunction. But the snippets I've read, he said that the union had showed, in his view, a high degree of unreasonableness, that the outcome of yesterday's hearing was inevitable. And instead of grasping the nettle and conceding, the union had forced the case to court. And reading what the case was about, it didn't need to go to court, Callum, because it's quite obvious if you are up to speed with deadlines, and the RCM will have people who advise them, they would know that a deadline ends at 11:59, the date before the period. In this case, it was 6 months, meaning 11:59 on the 1st of May. They would have known that. So I don't think there's fatigue. I think, in a way, we talked a couple of weeks ago and I was on about megaphone diplomacy. I think that's what we were seeing yesterday.
Yeah. As a crisis is drawn out and as a sort of negotiation is drawn out, as seems to be the case in so many areas right now, is there any conventional wisdom on whether that favours one side or the other? It strikes me that actually it potentially favours the government in all of this because it exasperates people further, public support may dwindle, resources of unions may dwindle, enthusiasm among members may dissipate. Is that a fair assessment, do you think, that the longer it goes on, it favours the government?
Yes and no. I think seeing the General Secretary in front of court giving a very robust statement about her union's position, trying to rally the troops. It may be, Callum, that what is going on is there is fatigue among the members. It could be that some of them want this action to end. And so what I think we saw yesterday was an attempt to boost support again by now turning fire on the government specifically, not the NHS employers. The statement was about the government that was being read out in front of the court, not about the actual employer. So it's moving away from just being an internal dispute between employers and employees now. We now have the government at the heart of it. And what's fascinating for me, and again, many of your listeners will be too young to remember this, and so will you, but we had a situation at the end of the 60s. We all know about Harold Wilson, who was one of the Labour prime ministers in the UK. He and Barbara Castle, the great Barbara Castle, who was his employment secretary at the time, tried to introduce some form of legal regulation to industrial relations at the end of the 60s. There was a white paper called In Place of Strike, which sought to kind of regulate what was going on because we had what was called a voluntarist system, which was about the unions and employers working in a voluntary way. And that was our culture in Britain. That's what everybody liked, but they didn't get it through. The unions back then hated it. But what has happened is we've now got that regulation, but it's far stricter in terms of what unions can do in terms of compliance with the law than it would have been had that come in at the end of the 60s. So this is back to the future from what we were experiencing at the end of the 60s. And we are definitely in unprecedented times, definitely.
Miranda, really fascinating. Thank you very much. Thanks for your insight. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll speak again soon, no doubt. As this continues.